Welcome to CWH and our special broadcast on Mother's Day. In today's message from my dad titled, A Mother's Wages, we will see that God teaches us to love, trust, serve, and fear Him. We hope you will be encouraged by today's service. God bless you and happy Mother's Day.
I'm Pastor Salem and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And today, it's a special day, Mother's Day. And we're just praying God to bless the mothers everywhere, all over the world, and especially Christian mothers, that God will encourage you in the work. And maybe you're a mother, but you're not a Christian. And today, you're going to ask Jesus into your heart. And we're just a few minutes, I'm going to tell you about accepting Jesus. And you can be born again, you can be a Christian mother. And then the Lord Jesus will help you to raise your children. You are so important. But before the message, I want to read a couple, three letters here. We just thank you for the letters, and we read every one of them. And if spiritual questions, we try to answer them the best we can. And so we're going to look at some today. The first one I'm reading from is Superior, Wisconsin. And it says, your program is like the beacon of a lighthouse in the stormy sea of life. What a joy it is to know that so many are avoiding shipwreck on the treacherous rocks by coming to Jesus. Please keep preaching the gospel and thank you. And this is just so beautiful because we're out in South Dakota in the Midwest and we don't have a lighthouse. I don't know where you'd find a lighthouse, but we have silos, but they don't have lights on the top of them. And so, and we all know what a lighthouse is, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're keeping people from shipwreck of the soul, not a ship, but the soul. And that ship, that Savior is Jesus, wonderful, beautiful Jesus. Here's a letter from Washington, D.C. This morning I played hooky from church. There's so much turmoil and disorganization there right now, I decided to stay home and pray. Well, I turned my TV, and there you were preaching about Samuel. Within minutes, I found myself weeping and rededicating my life to the Lord. God is good, and His word in your mouth is powerful. Well, they use the word of God, and you have power, and you have authority. And that's where the power is, in God's word, because when we preach God's word, He takes it, the Holy Spirit takes it, and He applies it to hearts. And here's a special woman in Washington, D.C. There might be somebody in the Philippines, Norway. We hear from all these different countries. And He applies it to each one of you because He's God, and He has omniscience. He has all wisdom and knowledge. And the Holy Spirit picks up the Word of God and uses it. Now, here's a letter that I want to say a few words about. Baldwin, North Dakota. And this is a lady that writes and says, please pray for me to truly feel the love of God and know I am a child of God. Well, now she's saying, and I've heard this before, and I remember as a young person, I wonder, do I love God? Really, do I love Him enough? Am I really saved? Well, you write this down, John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me has everlasting life right now, the minute you believe, and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you won't go into hell, but is passed from death unto life. That's heaven. But I read a little story about a man who was, he was a gentleman and he was a professed Christian and he was taken seriously ill. And it bothered him because he became troubled because he didn't really feel that he had real love in his heart for God. He hoped he would and he wanted to, but he just worried about it. And so he talked to his pastor and this is what his pastor told him. When I go home from here, I expect to take my baby on my knee, look into her sweet eyes, listen to her charming prattle, and tired as I am, her presence will rest me. For I love that child with unutterable tenderness, but she loves me little. If my heart were breaking, it would not disturb her sleep. If my body were racked in pain, it wouldn't interrupt her play. If I were dead, she would soon forget me in a short few short days. Besides all this, she never brought me a penny, but she's a constant expense to me. He says, I'm not rich, but there's not money enough in the world to buy my baby. How is that? Does she love me, or do I love her? Do I withhold my love until I know she loves me? Am I waiting for her to do something worthy of my love before extending it? This very practical illustration of the love of God for his children caused the tears to roll down the sick man's cheeks. And he said, it is not all I see now. It is not my love to God, but God's love to me that I should be thinking about. And I do love him as I never loved him before. 1 John 4:10 tells us, herein is not love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That is, sent his son to pay for our sins. Oh, God loves us and we love him. But it doesn't matter if you feel it or not. Don't go by feelings, because feelings can be deceptive. You go by faith. And God tells us, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He tells us, whoever believes on the Son has everlasting life. He tells us, as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believed on his name. So you just pray and you just say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you, and I ask you to forgive me for my sins. And I'll forsake, and the best I can, I'll live for you. And I love you, Jesus, and thank you for saving my soul. And if you pray that, you're born again. You're a child of God. You're a part of the body of Christ. You're part of the family of God. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All of that. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord is saved. I did it when I was 10 years old. And Jesus came into my heart, and I didn't feel anything. But the next day I felt, oh, my sins were gone. I just thank God my sins are gone. And so I'm at the end of the service, I'm going to give our address. And we'll write to you, send you literature if you accepted the Lord. You want more help. But today is Mother's Day. We got to think about our mothers. We want to think about our mothers. And so I'm going to talk about a mother named Jochebed. She lived 3,000 years ago, and when the children of Israel were bondage in Egypt, and they suffered many afflictions and many trials and sorrows, and Pharaoh had made a decree. He saw that the Hebrew people were getting too strong, and so he made a decree that every male Hebrew baby, every little boy baby, was to be cast into the Nile River at birth. It was a terrible, cruel law of the land, and under those awful circumstances, Amram and Jochebed were expecting their third child. Already they had Miriam and they had Aaron, and now it came to pass Moses is born. It says he was a godly child, an unusually beautiful child. And I know everybody believes that when their babies are born, but I'm going to tell you, some of these babies, they're not going to pass through a beauty contest, but they look beautiful to that mother and that father. But this, we're told, God says he was a beautiful child. And so their parents love this precious little son so much, they're going to defy Pharaoh, and they're not going to throw him into the Nile River. Instead of that, she kept him and she hid him in their home. And after about 3 months, the little boy Moses, his voice got stronger, and sometimes he'd cry out. And if some of these Egyptian guards would be walking by and they heard that baby cry, they would walk into that house and they would check. And if that boy was a baby boy, they would put him in the Nile River, cast him into the Nile River, and see him drown. And so Jochebed had to do something, and she had a plan. And you know the plan, made a little boat and put the baby in it, set it in the Nile River, and then told Miriam, now you watch and see what happens to that baby. And so then Pharaoh's daughter comes, finds the baby, and you know the rest of the story. Well, what a beautiful story. But let's see, let's take some lessons from it. Let's take, first of all, and see, so far as the story goes, mothers often work alone. Now, Amram, don't blame him because they were making bricks without straw. He probably was dead tired. He couldn't do anything but work. But here's a single mother, well, her husband wasn't able to help, but there are single mothers I'm thinking about. And you just be true to God, because look at how Jochebed took care of Moses and what became of him. And then mother's influence is tremendous. And I just seriously doubt if you can put too much emphasis on this fact. What do they say? William Ross Wallace says, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Billy Graham says there can be no greater men without mothers. There can be no great men without mothers. John Quincy Adams one time said, all that I am, my mother made me. And Abraham Lincoln, after he had become president of the United States of America, said this, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. And when you come to that Bible, you'll find over and over and over mothers and how they're living for the Lord, serving the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, I can add my mother to that list, because if it shouldn't have been for her, I don't know where I'd be today. Maybe in a drunkard's grave. I don't know. But this wonderful mother of mine, she prayed for us. And the earliest recollections I have was she put us to bed and put me to bed. And then she'd have read a Bible story. And then she'd have a little prayer and give me a kiss. And she lived that Christian life. I can't say too much for my mother. So it was with Moses. He had a God-fearing mother who influenced him tremendously. Her fear and reverence for God made her defy Pharaoh in refusing to put this little child to death. And so it was that Jochebed taught her little boy about God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She taught him to love God, to trust God, to serve God, and yes, to fear God. And after all, that's what God had commanded, because God had told them, he says in Isaiah 28, verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? And this is what he says, them that are weaned from the milk. The minute they're weaned from the milk, the milk from their mother, they are to be taught the things of God. And what are they to teach them? This is what God says. You must teach them. Precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. And that's what you're to teach them. And that's exactly what Jochebed did. And she pounded it through that little boy's head, precept by precept and line by line, here a little, there a little, over and over, the greatness of God and the teachings of God. And above all, Moses, don't you forget, you are a Hebrew. You are not an Egyptian. You are a Hebrew, and don't forget it. And Moses, my little son, the God of the Hebrews is greater than all the gods of the Egyptians put together. And you just don't forget that. And you know what? Moses never forgot it. So Jochebed taught her little son for 3 months on, until one day there was a knock at the door. Pharaoh's daughter came and had come. And maybe he's 6 or 7 years old. We don't know. But Pharaoh's daughter began to teach him, and she took him to the palace, and she began to teach him all of the wise men of Egypt. For 40 years, they taught Moses. They worked on his mind. His mother taught him for 5 or 6 years. The Egyptian taught him for 40 years. And Stephen, the great Stephen, the first Christian martyr, when he spoke to the Sanhedrin, talked about Moses and said he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. They taught him everything they could. And finally the day came, because they're going to have Moses be the next Pharaoh. And finally the day came of decision, the day of decision. Moses had to make his choice. He could become Pharaoh of Egypt, with all of its power and wealth and glory and fame and prestige and trappings of royalty. Or he could be numbered with those slaves making bricks without straw, dying out there in the hot Egyptian sun. Who is he going to choose? What will he do? Will Moses remember his mother's teachings, or will he follow the wise men of Egypt? Remember again, his mother had him 5 or 6 years, the other professors and teachers 40 years. What is Moses going to do? The brighter writer of Hebrews tells us exactly what he did. Hebrews 11, 24, 25. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the joys of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Never underestimate the power and influence of a mother. I can tell you, were it not for my mother, or for my wonderful wife, Beulah, for almost 60 years, 59 and a half years, how she has helped me and stood by me, and our 4 wonderful children, I thank God for them. And that was because I had a great mother and a great wife who helped me in this work. And I know I'm sure I wouldn't have stayed in the ministry if my wife Beulah hadn't encouraged me. Never in the influence of a mother, never underestimate it. And then remember this, God rewards Christian mothers. God doesn't fail Christian mothers. If a mother prays and teaches her best, God is going to reward her for it. The reward may not be seen in this life. Sometimes the children don't follow the steps of the Savior. Sometimes the children don't show respect and honor to their parents and their mother especially. Sometimes are ungrateful children who don't rise up and call her blessed. Sometimes this happens and a child completely rebels against his parents. I don't know why, but I've seen it happen. And the command of God is cast aside that tells us, obey your parents. Love, respect your parents. Show them honor. And God will reward you for your faithfulness, and God will reward your mother for her faithfulness, standing by and honoring the Lord, serving God. Listen to me. Children, you can reward your mother right now, right today. Go home and clean your room up. Carry out the garbage. Tell your mother you love her. Be sweet and temperate around the house. Don't be so impossible with so many things. Live for Jesus. Stop being impossible. Let the love of Christ shine in your life. Live a clean, pure, godly life. Turn from the evil you know. Follow after the good you can see. And I can tell you this, if you honor your mother and your father, God will honor you for it because of the promise. He gives a promise with that. He'll give you a long life. God will bless and prosper you if you give honor to your parents. And you know, God, that reward may come in ways you never dreamed. I was reading about the story of George Washington, young George Washington, and he packed his trunks and he said, going to join the Colonial Navy, going to be a midshipman on the Colonial Navy. And he had packed his trunk and had it sent to the ship. And then he went to tell his mother. And his mother was so brokenhearted and she cried so hard that he couldn't stand it. And he said, bring back that trunk. And instead, he became a surveyor and then a soldier. And what a glorious career he had because he loved his mother and took a different bent in his life. And he was rewarded for it, and America was rewarded for it. If you will follow the Lord and serve him and do as God leads, God will honor you and God will bless you and help you in that. Of course, sometimes mothers don't know exactly what a child should do. God has a plan, you young people listening today. God has a plan for your life. And you just study in school and read your Bible and pray and live for the Lord. Consult people about what to do. But God has a plan. He'll show it to you. And you can live out to the glory of God. And that'll be a greatness in your life. And you'll be a blessing to humanity and an honor to God. So just look to God. Trust in the Lord, lean on him, and he'll show you the way. But one final word. Maybe your mother has gone to be with the Lord like my mother. And maybe there's just a small little white marker shows where their frail body was laid. But that mother's prayers for you live on. She prayed that you'd come to know Jesus, but you haven't. She prayed you'd live a good, clean life for Christ, but you haven't. She prayed that you'd be faithful in church, but you haven't done that either. She prayed that you'd read your Bible every day. You haven't done that either. Today, Mother's Day, would be a wonderful time to answer some of those prayers. If for your own good and for your own well-being, I hope you'll answer that mother's prayers and come to Jesus. You know, God is going to give you some chances to come back. And right now, God could be talking to you, and you're turning your heart to her, to your Savior. And your mother will know all about it. Wouldn't that be a great thing to do it right now? Just pray, dear Jesus, I do love my mother and respect her. And I want you to know, dear Jesus, I have sinned. And I'm sorry for my sins. And dear Jesus, just come into my heart and wash away my sins. And God says through Isaiah, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 1:18. Oh, God, help me. Just come into my heart. Take away my sins. And I'll forsake those sins and I'll live for you, dear Jesus, the best way I can. I'll do my best to honor you and serve you. And when I fail, I'll ask you to forgive me, and you'll forgive me every time. And then thank Jesus. Just say that prayer in your own words. I had a man, the thee and the thous. I had a man, I talked to him and he prayed. And I don't know if he'd prayed before, but he prayed for Jesus to come into his heart. And when he came to the end of his prayer, he didn't say amen, he said goodbye. That's fine, that's fine. God's looking at the heart. And give your heart to Jesus today. Dwight L. Moody, a great evangelist, tells a story of a Scotch girl who wandered away from God and from her father's instruction and her mother's counsel and went deeply into sin. And one night, in a wild frenzy in the city of Edinburgh, she decided to commit suicide. But before doing so, she went to look once more at the home where she was born and had spent her youth. When in the middle of the night, she came into the neighborhood again, and finally up to her mother's gate, it was dark, so she lifted the latch and stole in. She walked slowly up the path to the door of the cottage, and to her surprise, the door was wide open. In fear that some harm had come to her old mother, she called, and her mother answered. And the girl said, Mother, I found the door open. And the old Scottish mother said, Maggie, it's been a many a long day since you went away, but always the prayer has been in my heart, Lord, send her home. And I said, whether she'd come by night or by day, I want her to see an open door, and she knows she's welcome to come back. Maybe you have a Christian mother that prayed for you, and you wandered far away from what she taught you, but she prayed that you'd come to Jesus. And you know what? You could come to Jesus right now. And you know something else? If you come to Jesus, your mother will know it right this second you pray. She'll know it. You know why I know that? Because we're told in the scriptures that there's rejoicing in the presence of angels over one sinner that repenteth. The presence of the angels, that means the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are rejoicing when a soul comes back. And all the redeemed are there, and your mother's there. And if you would come back to Jesus, she would see it the second you said that prayer, Jesus, please come into my heart. I want to walk with you and follow you, and your mother will rejoice in heaven. Do that for her, if not for your own soul's sake. And then if you do that, you write to us, and we'll send you some scriptures. You write to the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you can, send us a gift, because we have to pay our way. And then James says, you have not because you ask not. He says, don't be afraid to ask for money. If you needed to pay your way, you tell the people, and then the Holy Spirit can lay it on their hearts what to do. And so we have to have your help. And I want to tell you that we spend every penny just exactly the way the budget calls for it. We are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It's an international organization. They audit our books on how much we get and how we spend it. And we're clean as a hound's tooth. And when you send a gift to this ministry, you'll know how it's spent because you can sit there at the TV and watch it. And we'll be as faithful as we can be. But we have to have your help. And now here's something that's really wonderful. You can send it on the internet, a gift on the internet. Can you believe that? You just get on the internet and you get ChristianWorshipHour.com. You hit where it says donate and it'll tell you there. And you can send a gift. We'll get it in cash in American currency. And I want to also invite you to write for the new song. It's a little Bible study that we put out every month. And this month we're talking about how that the wonderful Jesus. And we're talking about the most wonderful verse in the Bible. And if you guessed John 3:16, you guessed it right. And so you write and say, I'd like the new song. If you want these services on CD or DVD, you can write for them and say, we do them, send them on a free will offering basis. And if you're in prison, we send them free. Doesn't make a bit of difference. So we hope to hear from you. Write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you'll bless many people, that there'll be multitudes of people that'll be enter into the kingdom of God right this very hour and find everlasting life. And then we pray for those on beds of sickness. We pray for those that are shut-ins and those that can't get out. And some are lonely and some hurt and some are afraid. And we pray for the young people, Lord. Oh, the temptations they face. What a hard day. And yet, if they have you, you'll help them. You'll help them overcome every temptation. Oh, God, may many multitudes of young people put their faith in Jesus today. And help all of us to rededicate our life for you and honor you in every way we can. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so now we just pray that God will bless you till out of this weekend, next weekend. Pray that you'll write and you've those on the short wave. We'd just love to hear from you. And we'll just pray for you. God loves you. We love you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. And we'll see you next week, Lord willing.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.